How was everyone's afternoon? Everyone get a nap today? Some people? Sometimes I'll take naps. Sometimes it has to be I'm exhausted, or maybe I don't know I'm exhausted. Well, we had a nice 3-day camping trip this weekend, and I didn't think I was tired. I slept really well last night, and I was just laying on the couch today playing with my daughter, and then next thing I knew, I woke up, and it was an hour later, and it's always nice to be able to have that opportunity to take a nap, and you don't really think about it, but it's good to get rest. It's a good day to be able to do that. And it's always awesome to be able to spend time with family and friends, be here in the house of the Lord on Sunday. I enjoy the morning time through Sunday school and the morning service, be able to spend time with people in the afternoon, and then always look forward to this evening as well, being able to be in God's house with you folks as well again. As I think about friendships, how many of you when you were younger, hopefully very much younger, had an imaginary friend? Okay, some people admit it, some of the younger people here. Some of the older people are not as willing to admit it, but I feel like at one point or another, we all had an imaginary friend. And if you didn't, then you didn't have imagination. And then we need to talk later, because imagination is very important. I had two imaginary friends. One of them's name was Joshua, and the other one's name, I don't know where it came from, but his name was Buzu. Now, my dad came to me once when I was like 14. He's like, "You'll never believe what I just came across. I've read this passage before, but somewhere," and I can't remember where it was. I should have looked it up and think about that. But there's somewhere where someone is listed in genealogy as the son of somebody the Buzite. So I didn't even realize that it was a biblical name. So I picked two biblical names. But I remember growing up, I don't remember a lot about personal, like firsthand remembering this. I remember more of what my parents have told me, but I did everything with my imaginary friends. The nice thing about imaginary friends is that they go with you everywhere you go. Rarely do they disagree with you. You can take them everywhere. They never have other plans because they are yours. And then I remember a very specific point in time. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember my dad coming up to me and saying, "You know what, it's probably time that, you know, we move on from our imaginary friends and we just go spend more time with our actual friends, your family." I don't remember how old I was. It was in the last couple years. But I remember very clearly that day that I was, like, traumatized because I was like, "I can't spend time with Joshua and Buzu anymore. Like, these are my buddies." And I remember as I had to move on from that, I had to stop hanging out with them and they moved on to somebody else. I remember as you begin to get closer to people, that those real, true, tangible friendships begin to show themselves. And you actually get to spend time with real people. And unlike imaginary friends, you know, real people are a little bit easier to spend time with and to have a real, lasting relationship with. There's also more challenges with it. But it always amazed me. I don't know where I got the names from with Buzu. That one's kind of came out of nowhere. But Joshua is kind of a cool one because we like to think back on the story of Joshua and Caleb in the Bible. And so I think maybe I heard that when I was really young, and I thought, "Oh man, Joshua and Caleb are in the Bible, so that's going to be my best friend." I've always been amazed with the story of Joshua. He is one of my favorite biblical heroes. And you consider what Joshua had to do and the task that he was given. It is something that if we were tasked with that today, how many of us would falter under the weight of that responsibility? All of a sudden, we are now responsible for not just a group of people, but a nation of people. And a nation of people that wasn't exactly the easiest to work with. You know, Joshua had experienced firsthand some of the things that these people had done to their previous leader, Moses, and the difficulties that he had to go through while leading them. You can only imagine that this was not exactly an enviable task for Joshua. And we know a lot of different events that happened to him and some things that he went through. But I'd say more than likely the most famous example that we have and story we have of Joshua is found in Joshua's chapter 5 and 6 with the battle of Jericho. So you can go ahead and turn there. As we think about Joshua and as he came up to the city of Jericho, think about the daunting task that he was facing as a military leader. You think throughout history there has been many military endeavors. I love studying history, love studying different wars and battles. And you think about ones that have seemed impossible, but then have turned out opposite than what everyone was thinking. And you think about the ones where people went in with a sure thing, they're thinking that they most definitely are going to win this, and then they don't. You think about the Battle of Little Bighorn. with General Custer. He's famous for that. Custer's last stand. You know, he had the ability to win that battle. And yet, what his problem was is he divided his forces and then allowed his group to get surrounded and they were all killed. We think about throughout history, there's many different events that have happened. You think about D-Day, which we just celebrated the anniversary of that the other day. You think about how it seemed like that there was no way that that could come to place. And yet through the amazing orchestration of men that the Lord had given the ability to do that, they were able to successfully achieve that landing. And it went a long way in order to see the end of World War II. But you think about great military endeavors, you have to go back to Joshua and Jericho. And you consider Joshua, as we pick up in verse 13 in chapter 5, Joshua, the leader of Israel, is leading the nation of Israel through the promised land, conquering as they go. And each new battle presents a new difficulty. But now Joshua is standing before Jericho. We see in verse 13 it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho." As the general, as the leader of the people, he was standing looking at what was the next target, the next objective on the way through the promised land. You see, Jericho was not something that could just be avoided. They couldn't just go around it because then they were always going to have Jericho behind them. They had to conquer it. It was an objective that they had to go through. But as Joshua is standing there, and he's looking at this city, he is realizing how daunting of a task that this is. Without going into a lot of detail, Jericho was placed in a position on a hill with slopes coming down from it, with walls that were enormous. It seems like there was more than likely multiple walls at Jericho. And walls that were so thick that in some places they could have a chariot driven on the top of them. And they were in a position where they realized that there's no way that anybody could get in at that time with the means that people had at that point. And Jericho's sitting there as a man, as Joshua's sitting there as a man looking at Jericho, is realizing, how are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to overtake this city? And as he is sitting there and he is contemplating this very fact, we see he's sitting there and it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, then that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." This evening, I want to look at what it looks like to have a vision of faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you for the example that we have of Joshua and the children of Israel. Lord, I pray as we look at this well-known story tonight, that you would maybe bring to our mind and bring to our focus some things that we haven't thought about before, and some different applications that we can apply to our lives today. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Having a vision. Would you say that having vision is important? We think in the physical sense, obviously being able to see is really important. It's good to be able to see where you're going. Those people that have lost their sight, that are now not able to see, obviously understand what it would be like, what it is like not to be able to see, and how important that is to have. And if you do not appreciate your sight, just try going around blindfolded for a while and you begin to realize how important that it is to see. In another sense, though, having a vision for the future is important for all of us in every aspect of our lives. Obviously, in the aspect of our families, do we have a vision for what our family is going to look like in the years to come? Do we have a vision for what we are going to look like personally in the years to come? Do we have a vision of what we're going to look like spiritually as we go throughout our lives? Vision is vitally important. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." To go along with that, though, it needs to be understood that not all visions are obviously the right vision. How many times do we get a vision for something? Do we have an idea of what to do, and it is the wrong thing? And we're misguided, and we go the wrong direction. And yet we're questioning, well, I thought I had a goal. I thought I had a purpose. You know, it is good to have a goal, to have a purpose, to have a vision for something. But we need to make sure that that is the correct vision. Yet how do we know what is a correct vision and what is not a correct vision? Well, I think the easy answer is to understand that having the correct vision is always going to be correct when we are following the Lord. We're following after what He has for us. As we look through this example of Joshua and the children of Israel, I want us to keep in mind what it looks like to have that vision and to be able to carry out that vision for the Lord. So continuing on in chapter 6, we see that Joshua, as he is now getting explained to him by the captain of the army of the Lord, what the plan is, you have to understand that Joshua is very thankful that this person has come. He doesn't know what to do. You know, if he was told by the Lord just to go and take it by whatever means you have, I'm sure that he would have thought up a plan. Joshua was a warrior. But I'm sure he was extremely thankful for this man showing himself and telling him what he needed to do. And we see the explanation given out in the next few verses. Because it says in verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. You know, they had heard of these people. They have heard of the destruction that had been waged all over the land by these children of Israel. And even though they were in their city and they were strong there, they still were afraid. It wasn't like they were just leaving the gates open and saying, oh, we don't care. No, their strength was in their city. Well, strength was behind those walls. And they were definitely afraid, but at the same time, they were confident in what they were behind. And so the city was shut up. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. We're going to come back to that verse. Keep that in mind. And now he gives him the instructions, the great battle plan for how they are going to take the city. Verse 3 says, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. Secondly, in verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. Thirdly, and on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. Then we see number 4, the 4th command in verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. This is the battle plan. This is what Joshua has just been told will defeat the city. They are to march around the city once a day for 6 days. They're going to be marching with the Ark of the Covenant. They're going to have those 7 priests in front of the Ark of the Covenant. On the 7th day, they're supposed to walk around the city 7 times. And they're going to have the priests blow the ram's horns as they marched. On the 7th time around the 7th day, the people will shout. And when the people shout, the walls will come down. And then when the walls come down, they go in and they conquer it. As a human, did this sound logical? No. It wasn't like Joshua was thinking back in his mind to all the military training that he had gotten in the military academy he went to. He's like, oh yeah, I remember that class where he talked about where you defeat cities by walking around them. I remember that one. No, he had nothing to pull this from. He had no experience with walking around cities to see the walls come down. This was something completely new. And as a logical thinking military man, you have to imagine that Joshua was like, could you maybe repeat that a second? You want us to walk around the city? We're not going to like go and try to knock it down and throw stones at it, which wouldn't work anyways. But walking around it? Oh, okay, but it makes sense probably when we blow our horns. That doesn't really do anything either. And then all the people are going to shout. Okay, so basically we're going to cause so much noise that there's going to be an earthquake, and then the walls are going to fall down. You know, as me thinking, as a logical thinking man sometimes, I would be standing there, and I would be like, this is the plan that we have to destroy this major city, is we're going to be walking around the walls here? But I want you to notice something really important. The acceptance of the plan by Joshua. And we find the acceptance of the plan in verse 5.5. You notice that there is no verse that says, and Joshua thought about it. And Joshua considered what the Lord had said, and then he went and he went off in the wilderness for like 100 days and thought about how they were going to do that and if this was a good plan or something. No, it says, verse 5, we see the ending of the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army telling him what to do. And in verse 6, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said unto them the plan. It says that Joshua heard the plan, and then he went and he told the plan to the people. You see what happened there is Joshua got the vision that the Lord had for him. Joshua got the plan and he accepted it. And he realized that the Lord was in it. You remember that phrase, that verse that we looked at in verse 2? See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. You see, Joshua, realizing what the Lord had already done for them, didn't focus on the plan. He focused on the person of God and what he told him was going to be done, realizing that this battle was already won, that this battle, they had already gotten the victory. And Joshua is sitting there and he realizes it doesn't matter what it looks like. We're going to carry it out and I'm going to go and tell these people what it is going to look like. And we are going to go and get that victory that the Lord has already won for us. And you know, we think Joshua, obviously, he was chosen by the Lord to lead these children of Israel. And it is an amazing thing that he did still do this and still accept this plan. But we would hope that the leader, that the person chosen by God would do that. But maybe what's more amazing is what happens next. You see, Joshua then explains to the children of Israel what the plan is. And he also adds a few details to it. He instructed the people that while they were marching, they were to be perfectly silent as they marched around the city. And he put soldiers in front of the priest and behind the ark. So he kind of did a few strategic things just to protect the ark. And then he had the priest blow the ram's horn continually as they went around. So he had a few different strategic things that he kind of added in there that didn't affect the plan, that didn't go against what the Lord had told him, but some things that he made to help make this even smoother. But he tells them exactly what the Lord had told him with that plan. It says in verse 8, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew at the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. You know what's interesting here? Is we also don't have any record of the children of Israel revolting and saying, whoa, whoa, wait a second, we can't do this. This is impossible. You know, it's amazing that Joshua, one man chosen by the Lord, captured this vision and then went and told the people. But consider how amazing it is that the children of Israel, the people that struggled so much in capturing the vision that the Lord had for them, and at the slightest little bit of difficulty would turn away from him. And they accepted this. And they remembered in their hearts and remembered in their minds in not so recent history, and also in the recent history, what the Lord had done for them. And they decided that they were going to go and get the victory that the Lord had for them. It is an amazing thing to think that Joshua was able to communicate this vision to the people in a way that they accepted it as well. You know, it wasn't like the commander of the army of the Lord came back with him and was explaining it with him. Joshua had the challenge of explaining this to these people, and they accepted it. Oh, what a mark of a true leader that is. And that the people accept that vision and follow it. And we see that Joshua and the children of Israel then carry out exactly what the Lord had planned for them. They came out the first day. They marched around the city one time. And then they leave. They come back the second day. They march around the city one time. And then they leave. They do this for 6 days. You have to imagine on the first day... people in Jericho are standing there, and they see the children of Israel and the whole host coming towards them. They're like, oh boy, here we go. Get everything ready. And they're like, oh, they're coming. Oh, they're taking a left, and they're circling. They're going to circle us. And then they go around, and everyone goes around, and then they leave. And they're like, that's it? Like, was there some spies left here? Not that they know of. That's all they're doing? And then the second day, exact same thing. Oh, this is the time that they're going to do it. They're going to take us here, and they leave again. You imagine by the third day, they begin to start taunting them. Like, okay, all you're doing is walking around us. This is hilarious. There's a lot of you, I understand, but you're not causing any earthquake or anything. That's nice shouting that you're doing. Love the horn playing you're doing there. And this the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, they continue doing this. And I'm sure the people of Jericho are kind of getting a little bit lazy about it. They're just kind of all having parties on the wall, watching these people walk around them. Imagine, these people are so confused, they don't even know what to do. And then the seventh day, like, oh, here they come again. Wonder how long this is going to continue. And they march around one time like, well, there they go. Oh, no, they're circling again. Maybe they lost count. Now they're going around again. Now it's three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. And then all of a sudden, the horn blows and the walls fall down. Can you imagine the panic in the city of Jericho when those walls fell down? Because you see, the difference between the children of Israel and the people of Jericho is that the people of Jericho were placing their faith and their trust in these man-made walls. This was their defense. This was the security that they had. The vision that they had was that these walls were going to protect them. Because they didn't realize that there is something, there is someone more powerful and stronger than man-made walls, and that is God. And they didn't know of him yet. They had heard tales, but they hadn't seen it yet. And now that God is right there before him and leading these children of Israel, and these walls have fallen down, and the children of Israel, as we know, take and capture the city. But what is so important about this story? Obviously, they got a vision. They had a vision that the Lord gave to Joshua and that Joshua gave to the children of Israel. But what allowed them to accept that vision? What in their minds gave them the ability to have that vision lived out? Faith. Exactly right. And we know that because we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, "And by faith the walls of Jericho fell down." It wasn't mentioned in there that, and it was by the great strategy of Joshua that the walls fell down. Because if you look at greatest battle strategies in history, I don't think you're going to find the Battle of Jericho up there anywhere. Greatest successes, more than likely, yes. Greatest strategies, probably not going to be up there. But it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down. Mentioned right there with all the amazing other examples of faith throughout history in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11. You see, without that faith, the children of Israel would not have been able to see that victory accomplished. Without the faith that they had in the Lord and what He was going to do and what He had already done for them, they would not have seen those walls come down. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It's important to understand that we need to have a vision. We need to accept and to grab and take hold of the proper vision in our lives, following after what the Lord has for us. But understand that we are humans, that we have human limitations. And therefore, there are going to be times where we just don't understand what the vision is that the Lord is trying to give us, what this goal is, what the plan is. Boy, God, this sure doesn't make sense in my mind. I don't see how you, by me doing this, this is going to accomplish anything good. We begin to put those limitations that we have on God. You see, what allows us to carry out the vision that the Lord has for us is by having that true faith. And what does that faith look like? Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You see, true, genuine faith is a faith that is built upon what we hope for and what we desire. You see, Joshua and the children of Israel had a hope, and that hope was produced from the faith that they had in God. They obviously had a hope that these walls were going to fall down, and that hope was built on what the Lord had already done for them time and time again, and what they had seen the Lord accomplish. But not only is the faith what we have hoped for, but it is also being sure of what we have not yet seen. How many times do we allow ourselves to only have faith in what we have seen? How many times do we allow ourselves to say, well, I can believe that that's going to happen because I've seen it before, or I know someone that has seen that happen before? We are so based on seeing and believing, when what the Lord tells us is that true faith is not seen and yet still believing. Think about Thomas. You know, the Lord accepted his faith in the sense that he had to see the Lord to believe him. And the Lord was still thankful that he did end up believing. But he said, "Blessed are those that have not seen me and yet still believe." We need to have a faith that is not based on what we can see, but is based on the unseen God and what He has done for us. And we need to have a faith that is not dependent on circumstances. A definition of faith in the dictionary says, having a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Now, obviously, we can say we have definitely seen proof of God. But think about the circumstances that we are in. We have no proof that this specific way that is being told to us by the Lord to do is going to actually work. We haven't seen this happen before. We haven't seen this experience this. We don't have proof that this is for sure going to work out, but we do have proof that we serve the one true God and that He is the same God that was with these children of Israel. He is the same God that gave them victory over a seemingly task that they were unable to accomplish. And that same God that allowed them to have that victory is the same God that we serve today. And there is nothing that has changed about Him. You see, God told the Israelites that He had already won the victory. They had but to trust in Him. You see, that key statement there by the Lord that He communicated to Joshua was that I have already won the victory. Isn't that an amazing thing? To be promised that this victory is already won for you. You just have to go out there and carry it out. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could be assured of victory? If we could be assured that what we are doing is not in vain. If we could be assured that there really is a hope out there, that we know that the victory has already been won. You know what's awesome? Is that we have. We have been told that. As Christians, we need to live with the same confidence as Joshua and the Israelites because we serve the same God and because He has already won the victory. John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." He's being honest about it. We're going to face tribulation. We're going to face difficult circumstances. We're going to face Jerichos. We're going to face things that look like we're not going to be able to accomplish them. He's acknowledging that, but be of good cheer. This is Christ speaking. He said, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." He's not saying I am going to overcome the world. He's not saying just have hope that in the future I will overcome the world. Christ has already overcome the world. The victory has been won. 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." We need to live with the same hope, the same faith, the same trust that Joshua and the Israelites had, because we have been promised the same victory. Our circumstances might be different. We may not be tasked with going out and actually taking a city that has these huge walls. But each one of us has something in our lives right now or that we are going to face that may seem just as difficult of a task, that may seem just as insurmountable of an ability to have in order to defeat a Jericho in our lives. It could be a health issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be relational. Each and every single person here has something in our lives that we are finding difficult to have faith in the Lord for. Each one of us are going to come to a point where we are struggling just within our realms of understanding and what we know as humans and believing that this can be done. But what God is telling us and what we are seeing through the example of Joshua and what we can see through the promise of the Lord that He has already won the victory is that we can have trust in Him. That we can grab that vision that the Lord has for us and that we can have a faith that is not misplaced. That we can have a faith that has been tried and tested and has been found to be true throughout history. Because the same God that was with the Israelites is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to realize that every circumstance, every situation, every time that we begin to doubt in the Lord, begin to doubt in what He can do, that He is still there for us. That He has still already given us the victory. We don't have to wait and see what that victory is going to be. We have but to carry out the battle plan that the Lord is giving us. And we need to realize that Christ, because He has already won that victory, is going to equip us to carry out that battle. Folks, I don't know your circumstance. I don't know what situations you're going through. I know what I face, whether internally or externally. And many times I find myself doubting whether the Lord can actually do what He is telling me. I find myself having a difficult time accepting that vision that He is trying to give me. That vision of victory, that the battle has already been won. But how many times do we make it harder on ourselves by trying to accomplish the victory in our own way? By trying to go and defeat Jericho by throwing little pebbles at it? By trying to just kind of do our own thing? When the Lord has given us the clear commands of this word, in this word, of how we are to live our lives as believers, and how we are to accomplish going about defeating those and the people in the spiritual realms, and how we are to live in the world but not of the world. So many commands that He has given us and how to live as believers, and yet we try to do it in our own strength. You see, if Joshua and the children of Israel had tried to defeat Jericho in their own strength, they would have failed. They would not have been successful. They would have had many, many deaths. They would not have been able to take that city. But because they followed the Lord's leading, because they listened and did exactly as He told them, they won the victory. So let me ask you, what Jericho are you facing today? What difficult situation are you having a hard time in trusting the Lord in? Are we accepting and grabbing a hold of that vision that He has for us and doing it through faith in what the Lord has done for us and what He wants to do for us? Or are we trying to do it in our own strength? We need to remember that the Lord is with us. The Lord has already won that victory. That greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I want us each to consider tonight, as we leave here and we go about our week, are we living in the strength of the Lord, or are we trying to live in our own strength? And are we accepting the faith that He wants us to have and living it out as we go throughout our day? And let's see what great things the Lord can do. Let's see what things the Lord can do through us and because of us, because we are trusting in Him. Maybe you say, I haven't really seen the Lord do a lot in my life. Well, is it because you haven't had that faith in Him? Because you haven't given Him the ability to do great things in your life? Because you've been just pushing Him away? Let's give the Lord the opportunity to do what He wants to do in our lives. And let's see what great and amazing things that He can do today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for this reminder from Your Word. Thank You for, though, a familiar story with Jericho and Joshua. Lord, I pray that You would help us to realize that this was not done through the strength of man. Lord, that this was done through a man, through a group of people that had trust, utmost trust in You, and had a faith that was not misplaced. And Lord, they accepted the vision that You had for them. And even though it seemed maybe silly in man's eyes, Lord, You had the perfect plan. And Lord, in our lives today, You have a perfect plan for us. You have a desire for us. You have a way that You want us to follow. Help us not to go our own way, but to follow closely behind You. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to see that victory that You have already won. Give us the confidence, give us the courage to live out that faith on a day-to-day basis. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have with you, in closing this evening, the song that we learned this morning,